Outrocast.
Demetrius, how is your day going aside from answering the same questions over and over and over again from media?
How you doing, brother? It's all right, man. I love doing this. Fun.
Well, you do an excellent job on this series, and obviously the family story is part of it. But how much prep is needed to be Big Meech for this?
Man, so much prep. You know, it was not easy. It is my father, but it was not easy. You know, embodying this role, learning the character and, you know, how he grew up and how he was thinking and decisions that he made being at an early age. You know, definitely it's a lot. And it took a minute, but we got here, you know, and I'm comfortable now and I know what I'm doing. I'm comfortable in my choices. You know, my father is happy, so we're all good.
Yeah, and this is not your only acting credit, because we've also seen you in Taurus and Euphoria and all that. But I've read that when you were studying at UNLV, you didn't plan on being an actor. So at what point did you kind of realize you were going to be an actor?
Well, 51st called me. I didn't know that I was going to be able to get the role, because he just told me that he was moving me from my hometown to LA for acting classes. But I would have to focus in acting classes and do a good job in order to nail the audition to get the role, you know? So it wasn't just going to be given to me, you know, I had to earn it. So the whole process, you know, of me being in acting classes 5 days a week, two times a day, you know, was me getting ready for the audition, but I still didn't know if I was going to get the role. 50 Cent couldn't get role. Stars had to give me the role. They had to okay me and okay the audition. So that whole process was crazy. The whole year and a half was a crazy experience, you know, just going through the ups and downs and not knowing if I was going to get the role, not knowing if somebody else was going to play my father, you know, not knowing anything really. That was, you know, the whole thing that made my journey, you know.
Right. And fortunately, this show has a lot of overlap with Power because of the producers, the network, etc. Were you a big fan of Power before landing this role?
Yes, I was. And I love the role Ghost, you know, and watching his journey, you know, in the seasons. I was there from season one. I was in tune, you know, watching my TV every time it came on. So it's actually crazy being able to watch that and joining the Power Universe, you know, hopping into my own TV show. That's great. I'm thankful.
And my last question before I let you go here, people know you as Lil Meech. Now they know you as Big Meech. What's the correct way to address you when somebody sees you in public that you like and that's respectful? What's the name for you?
Meech.
Well, Meech, thank you for your time. Congratulations on this new season of BMF, and really looking forward to what's to come from you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Outrocast.
Heather, how is your day going aside from answering the same questions over and over and over again?
You know what? I love talking about the show and I love talking to the fans. So it's great.
Right. Well, not the first critically acclaimed, commercially successful star show that you've been a major part of. So congrats on that end.
Thank you. How
far in advance did you know that this was coming back for another season?
Gosh, we were talking about season three during season two. Let's put it that way.
Wow. Okay. So this is one of those shows where everything is really storyboarded in advance, that the characters are really developed.
Well, no, I think me and Randy, the creator, having more of a sense that this was something really special, you know, and we're always looking ahead. So, but you don't get to break the season until you get paid to break the season.
I've never heard it said that way before. Break the season, meaning write it out, outline it, et cetera.
Yeah. So, we come into the room and we just start pitching. We really blue sky it. And then we really talk about, we pick a theme. The theme for season three was reinvention, because all the characters are reinventing themselves. And we're always writing to that theme in every storyline. And then we talk about our character arcs. We always know where we're starting them and then where we want to take them. We always lay that out at the beginning of the season. So always have your to and your from, and we figure out the most interesting way to get there.
Well, something very distinct about BMF and also Power is the usage of multi-talented people. Meaning, it's my theory that the Power cast has more EGOT potential cast members than any other show. And BMF kind of continues that trend where you see multi-platinum recording artists and people who can do ballet, et cetera.
Yeah.
When you were casting for this show, do you have that on the resume of what are all the things you do? Do you speak Portuguese? Can you cook?
You know, we're always trying to make it more meaningful with the casting, right? So 2 Chainz and Big Meech are friends. So that was meaningful because he was there during the time period. And, you know, at Video Village, he's sitting there and he's reminiscing about old times. That's what was exciting. I think finding people and not having them play themselves too. The new faces that we have this year, no one's playing an artist, right? They get to play something different. And I think that always helps elevate a show also.
Right. So is casting one of the harder parts of the show because you're looking for that meaning on top of availability, salary range, and talent?
I'd say casting is one of the most fun parts of the job too. And because of 50's generous spirit, you know, there's so many people in his pool that love the show. Everybody wants to do this show.
Yes, yeah, so I want to do the show too. I mean, everybody does.
We have no shortage of options, which is fantastic, you know?
For sure. Well, my last thing to ask you before I let you go, because you've been generous with your time here, is this is a very time-intensive show, but do you have anything else in the works, anything in development that we're allowed to know? Because you're a very creative person. Yeah. Sometimes you're under a Hollywood Reporter embargo before announcing that thing.
I'm doing a reboot of Southland, which I did. I was on that show for 5 years, and you know, 50 announced back in January 2003 that there would be BMF spinoffs, and I'll leave it at that.
Wow. Okay. Stars has great content for many years to come. That's what I'm learning. So thank you again for your time, and really looking forward to Southland and everything else, Heather.
Okay. Great to meet you. Thanks, Darren. Outrocast.
Christopher, Ren, a pleasure to be speaking with you both. So two-parter for both of you. We'll throw it to Ren first. Part one, how are you? Second part, how much of Henrietta is there in you, the human being?
Oh, my goodness. I'm doing well. Just celebrated a birthday this month, so feeling very good about my solo return. For Henrietta, Henry and I are very similar in a lot of ways. One aspect that I can't believe I didn't mention was that we're both ballet dancers. We both did ballet for a very long time and then decided to quit when we were like 18. Yeah. And then go do something else. So that is one aspect that for Henry and I, in terms of doing ballet, feeling that's like, that's not exactly where we fit. That's not exactly that feels the most truthful to us. But we kind of carry that. We carry that grace and that presence that we learn in those ballet classes throughout, you know, our day-to-day lives, and how she translates that into the game, how she translates that, how she interacts with the men that are also in the game, and how she interacts with her father.
Great answer. Military and ballet, the two ways they train you young and you've got discipline, my humble opinion. Now, Christopher, can I call you Chris, or are you Christopher to everybody?
Christopher is great.
And then does anyone get to call you CBD? Because you've got cool initials right there.
You know what? So you know about all of my CBD oil businesses around the country and the world. You know about that, right?
Yeah, that's all you.
Yeah, they were random looking like, are you serious? No. Obviously, I certainly wish that I had some participation in all the CBD products out there. But nevertheless, no, you're right. People have called me CBD in the past, yes.
So after, you know, season 4 of the show, I look forward to the product line called CBD by CBD. But anyway, we're not here to tout products. We're here to talk about BMF. And Blaze is who you play. How much of Blaze is there in you, the human being?
A number of we have a number of things in common, but the one that stands out for me more than any other is the incredibly protective nature that Blaze has when it comes to family and loved ones. Mm-hmm. The lengths that Blaze will go to make sure that not only his organization is always intact, mm-hmm. and in my personal life, the way I would make a parallel to that is that everything with my family is always in a good place and protected and taken care of. So that commitment to family, to a protective nature, that's where I really relate to Blaze. And keeping things in order. Blaze is about keeping things in order. In my life, yes, we have that in common.
So, Ren, what I'm hearing from Christopher is that everyone kind of gets along on the BMF set. Everybody is respect-oriented. Oh, yeah. And it's the best set you've ever worked on, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it was great. It was familial. For me, my experience was it was interesting. There are some aspects for me that were very, very new, especially being a trans actor on a set, and you know, working with pronouns, meeting other people, and introducing yeah. myself as, you know, using they them pronouns, but you know, playing a character who's a she her. There was sometimes there's a disconnect there, but it's a learning curve, and you know. Just kind of like in BMF in this season, this is like the first time there's a character like this in this show. And for a lot of people, maybe this is the first time they're interacting with a trans actor or an actor who's not specifically in any kind of gender, you know, category. And so I think the conversations and some of the, you know, the back and forth, it translates.
Kelly, Morgan, a pleasure to be speaking with both of you. And the same opening question to both of you, we'll throw to Kelly first. It's not Morgan. It's not that I like Kelly more. It's just, you know, somebody has to get the first question.
I'm just older. Age before beauty.
I've been watching you work for decades. I watched Martial Law. But anyway, Kelly, how much prep was needed in this kind of detective role?
Well, you know, I, like you mentioned, martial law, I've been playing detectives for quite a long time. So for me, it wasn't as difficult. Also, because I started playing detectives like in the 90s when this character is, you know, where this season is taking place. So for me, you know, I've already been trained in the 90s style of being a cop. You know, I think Morgan had to go through a little bit more training in that sense because she's so young, but
young, but experienced yeah. and talented. And I'll throw that same thing at you, Morgan. How much training or prep was needed to be playing a detective on this kind of a show?
So I had to do a lot of training because I was always like kind of nervous to, this is my first detective role. And I was always kind of nervous to take on that type of role, the jargon, the, you know, everything, the style of what they have to do. So I had to do research. This is based in Detroit, had to understand, you know, that style. It's a period piece. So understanding the times. And then we also did some fun training with like gun shooting and things like that. So I knew how to like hold and holster and just give that authenticity that was needed. So yeah, I had to put a lot of work in, but
in a good way. And Kelly, as you've called out, you know, doing that kind of stuff, you also have Mortal Kombat on your resume, doing that for multiple games right there. So you have the fighting stuff and the cop stuff. Is there a kind of role you haven't done yet that you're still hoping you'll be able to do?
You know, I have been doing this for 37 years. I have done so much. I mean, I really can't think of another kind of role that I would like to play. I feel like, you know what I would like to play? I would like to play retired. Like to play that role of retired.
Hey, Morgan, do you have that kind of a dream role at this point in time? Do you want to play more detectives? You know, assuming that BMF goes for 12 more seasons, do you have that kind of role you're dreaming of?
For me, yeah. Like, I would love to be able to take it, you know, even higher and, you know, do action films. And, you know, I think that would be the, you know, the pinnacle for me is to be able to do a lot of action films. I love stunt work and I love, you know, shooting guns. I do. Like, I, there's a power that's behind it. So, and safely, of course, but I just... I gotta throw that out there, but I just enjoy the whole, just the whole world is so exciting and exhilarating to me. So yeah, I would love to. Yeah.
Well, the same closing question goes to both of you. I throw this compliment out widely, which is everyone who's cast on BMF and Power, you learn has more talents. There's so many EGOT potential people on the show. Kelly, how are you a singer? Or are you a dancer? Do you have one of those extra things?
I can tell you something. I am not a singer. There's a scene coming up in season 3 that I had actual anxiety over because we had to sing and it was, I'd rather be naked, to tell you the truth. I'd rather be naked than have to sing. And it was tough. So yeah, that is, I have no other talent.
I don't buy that. Same question to you, Morgan, before I let you go.
Yeah, I mean, I can hold a tune. I'm a jazzy Amy Winehouse kind of feel. But dance-wise, absolutely not. You know, probably have to work really, really hard on that one. But I can hold a tune singing-wise, yeah.
But there still might be a BMF mixtape. That's what I'm hearing. One day we might get that. You'll be on there. Kelly, yeah. you'll do like a spoken word interlude. Sort of. But congrats.
I can't even rap.
big fan of what you do. And thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Nicole, Layla, pleasure to be speaking with you both. So two-parter first goes to Nicole. One, how are you? And second, how much of your character is there in you, the human being?
How much of my character is what?
Is there in you the human being? Because sometimes you speak with somebody who's the exact opposite. But in the case of you, is there much Lucille in you, the human being?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's so much of the real Lucille that resonates with me. And there's a familiarity with my real mom also, who they actually look like sisters. I feel like I look like Miss Lucille. I feel like we're family and there's just this deep divine connection between us. I really connect most, I think, with her spirituality and kind of bringing that to the show as a human being. And, you know, like I do energy work and stuff like that. And so I, you know, kind of help people around the set sometimes and, you know, try to lift people's vibration and spread the love and support them in whatever we're all going through. And so I feel like I'm that nurturing, compassionate person for others. And I truly relate to that.
So you're empathetic and positive. That's what we're hearing.
Yes, I'm totally there. Would you say, Layla?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is one of the most, and I say this all the time, active listening is such a huge part of acting. And you, Miss Nicole, are the best active listener I've ever, whether on set or off, you give your full attention to whoever you're engaging with. And everyone, I think, appreciates that. It's
wow.
Mutual
Appreciation Society.
Yes, for sure. This little girl, like she's so smart. She's smart as a whip. Like, you know, she brings her A game to set all the time. Like to be so young, like she's such a pro at acting and even like emotional scenes, whether she's on camera or off camera, like she gonna be crying, like, you know, just bringing like everything to the scene, whether it's her moment or not. She's like in there 100% all the time.
Wow. Those are kind of words going at you, Layla. And in the case of Nicole, not the easiest character to play. How long does it take you when they say cut for you to become Layla again?
I have my process. I think I kind of look at the more that I play different kinds of characters, the more that I sort of look at Layla as a character sometimes too. And Layla's happens to be very strong, very, you know, doing a lot. And so it doesn't take her too long. I use music a lot of times when I, you know,
wind back down into myself. A lot of times I'm tired, and so I'll turn on some, you know, some music to kind of get my energy back, you know, my music that I like, you know, not Nicole's music. And I do a lot of breathing and just sort of grounding myself in where I am and, you know, the thoughts that Layla has, you know, so yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations on season 3. Hope we're going to be talking on season 8, 9, 10, and 11's junkets. So looking forward to more BMF to come.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Seth, Evan, Jason, apologies on the order of the names. I don't know what the correct order of names is, but I'll first throw it to Jason.
And well, say, it's alphabetical. So if you could just kidding. I'm kidding.
Is that what Juan Showbiz taught you or no? I love Juan Chobiz and the bio that he wrote on IMDb Free. But anyway, Jason, two-parter for you.
I forgot
how
about
are
that.
Are you? And how are you taking the news that Matt Pinfield has shared the Royal Crackers clip on Twitter?
Oh, I love it. He cited the wrong network, which I thought was hilarious. But I'll say this. Matt Pinfield, Evan, remember, like, he was the nicest man I've ever met in my life. Like it was yeah. just like, I think I showed up like a few minutes late as I tend to do. But like I walked in and you and Christy, our writer assistant, production assistant, like sure. they were just like best friends. Like I was like, what happened? Like in the 5 minutes that I wasn't here, like he was so, so cool.
Yeah. That's the, by the way, which is the headline is Matt Pinfield is in season 2 as Matt Pinfield, which we're super excited about. And when he was just like regaling us with stories of you know, just like all the different concerts he's been to, all the people he knows, and was like, wow, this is like you spend time with Matt Pinfield and you feel like you've gotten the full Matt Pinfield experience.
He's great.
Seth, did you also grow up on 120 minutes or is the Pinfield thing extraneous to you?
No, it's funny because, so I don't know if you, I think the guys know, we're having like a very small like gathering this weekend to celebrate like finishing season 2. And I was telling my wife, oh, Matt Pinfield will be there. She doesn't know who Matt Pinfield is. And I'm like,
there's no time for that.
How do you, now I'm not like a Headbangers Ball guy, but like I grew up during when MTV was like, so cool that like it just was the culture. So you know, I think it's telling that like you know she didn't know who Matt Pinfield was, and I'm losing my mind. Like, dude, Matt Pinfield, it's fucking Matt Pinfield. Anyway,
as a kid, it really did feel like the network you turned on, turning on the TV and go like, tell me what is cool so that I can like take it to school with me and be cool. Like it had so much power over the culture. Like
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And then he went into a successful career in A&R and the Killers wrote that song about him, but hey, this is not the Matt Pinfield interview. Mm-hmm. This is the Royal.
No, let's make it. I'm down to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Pinfield talk.
Well, I was going to keep throwing compliments your way. And I say that between you're writing credits and producing credits and acting credits, aside from Royal Crackers, are some of my favorite shows of all time. Last Man on Earth, You're the Worst, Arrested Development, Key and Peele, etc. Now, Jason, you had previous animation experience. Seth and Evan, less so because there's more live action kind of stuff. So I'll first throw this at Jason. How long does it take to actually make an episode of Royal Crackers at this point?
Oh my God. Actually, Evan, like, what do you think? Like,
well, okay. So, I mean, are we talking about the writing phase too, or just like once the script is done?
Once the script is done, because we were brainwashed as kids to hear that the Simpsons episode takes 6 to 9 months because they're shipping it to Korea and then it comes back. But that's, and then we see the South Park thing that it's a week. So we know it's somewhere between a week and 9 months.
Yeah.
South Park is definitely an anomaly.
Yeah, that's an outlier. So the animatic phase, I would say, takes about, which is like, you know, the kind of early stages, takes about a month to 6 weeks, I want to say. And then once, I'd say it varies, but it's at least 3 months before we, or two to three months till we get it back. So overall, I'd say like 4 months. 4 months per episode, and that's pre-script. That's like the writing phase obviously takes a while too. But yeah, I'd say 4 to 5 months could.
And that's all happening concurrently. So all those episodes are in different states of completion at the same time.
Exactly.
You're writing episodes while some episodes are coming in from overseas. Like you're maybe writing the last episode when stuff's, or the eighth episode when stuff starts coming back. You're constantly writing and doing animatics for episodes already written. It's a lot to juggle, but it's a lot.
I can imagine. So who's tasked with that crazy continuity checklist of the moving parts?
Not me.
Is it Seth?
Well, no, we have production people who, I mean, yeah, like if you were like, whose job is it? It would be our producer, which in animation means something different than it means in live action. But that's really your QC, your quality control person. But then we all in less like it's our responsibility, but also we have a voice going like, of course, we're making creative changes. But occasionally, like, you know, you'll go like, hey, the color's off on this or this model of this character doesn't look right, or the interesting thing about animation is it's like a double-edged sword. You get everything as possible, and so that creates an incredible opportunity, but also like you could endlessly tool around with something, you know.
It's the dream job for sure. I've always wanted to be in this position, and it's everything I've ever wanted. The thing that I think a lot of, what I certainly didn't see as a kid, and what I think a lot of audiences don't kind of see, is like you're so bombarded with like the logistics of something. It's like you might have a better idea of like what's there, but like there's such a short time frame that it's too late to implement that idea. You have to go around it somehow, or can we work it in this way? It's all kind of like rerouting and finding a logistic path that works for production, because there's so many limitations with you know, the amount of time you're given. That's the challenge. That's the really, really hard part of the job. It's the not fun part of the job. You don't have all day to think on these things, and just, you know, it's all flying by, and you kind of just have to play it by ear as you go. It's hard, but a lot of fun.
Hard, but worth it to us as the viewer. And the last question before I let you all go is, what's the merchandising situation going to look like now that you're a mainstay series? You know, you could do all the crackers and the food kind of stuff if you wanted to. You could do stuffed animals, etc. Are we getting more swag and merch from Royal Crackers in the near future?
That's up to David Zasloff.
Well, I feel like we're pitching a LaCroix partnership. You know, other shows have like sort of had their go at like Szechuan sauce. We definitely feel like second season, the Croy boys are making a case for themselves. Yep. Maybe in a unique flavor, like Burbank like water, especially for, flavored water.
We all want to live in a world where kindergartners are showing up with their lunches in Royal Crackers lunchboxes. Okay, yes. We all want that. And, you know, we're going to make it happen. Outro cast.